Awesome. So today I'm going to be talking about Ruby on Rails. So Ruby on Rails is a web framework. It's basically a way to make awesome web apps, which a lot of you guys will probably be doing for your final projects. So it's also kind of cool timing because you're currently working in PHP for this current problem set. So hopefully a lot of these things that I'm talking about today will ring some sorts of bells, and there'll be some carryover between the stuff you'll learn today, the stuff you're working on the problem sets. All right, so what's on the agenda? First, we're going to go over a review of MVC, Model View Controller. Hopefully you've learned about this some in lecture, but it'll be kind of a review of that. Then we're going to talk a little bit about Rails, which there are kind of an infinite number of things I could talk about. So we're going to go over some of the basic, just what is Rails, what does it do, and a little bit about Ruby too, because Ruby on Rails is, not surprisingly, built in a language called Ruby. Luckily, Ruby is a lot more intuitive than a lot of the languages you've been working in, so hopefully it should be pretty easy to pick up. And last, we're going to spend some time going over a basic web app and digging into some code there. So this is the official guide to MVC. This is what you'll find on Study 50 and lectures. And MVC obviously has three parts. So there's the model, persistent storage, managing and organizing data. You can think about this as your MySQL database in the current problem set, any data files you have. There's the view, which is the presentation of information, the user interface. You can think about these as HTML pages and any of the template pages you're building on this problem set. And the controller, which handles all of the information, kind of passes information between the databases and the view. And you can think about these as your current PHP files in the programs you're writing for problem set 7. So I'm going to go into an unofficial guide, which is inspired actually by last year's Ruby on Rails seminar. I really liked the way they kind of thought about Model View Controller. So let's go now into the unofficial guide. So we have a couple characters in the unofficial guide. There's our model, Madeline, who is very, very smart. Loves data, knows all about data, but she's a little bit antisocial, and she doesn't usually interact much with people unless she's told to do so. Next, there's our view, Vicky, who is gorgeous. She's absolutely gorgeous, but she's not so smart. And lastly, there's our controller. Hopefully, all of your controllers will be less nefarious than this controller here, but this is our evil queen, Caitlin, who really likes ordering people around, but doesn't really like doing things herself. So let's kind of start with an analogy. Let's say all of our characters work at CVS. There are kind of two scenarios we can think about. For some reason, I have scenario 2, scenario 1, but that's all right. We'll start with scenario 2. So let's say a customer comes up to CVS and Vicky is working in the front. She's the cashier. So the customer asks Vicky for a piece of candy. That's, how in CVS there's always that candy lined up in the front row. So a customer asks for that candy. What happens? Well, Vicky doesn't know what to do. So she turns around and asks Caitlin, what do I do? This customer just asked for candy. Caitlin, our very controlling manager, says, well, the candy's right there, Vicky, just give it to them. And so Vicky says, oh, okay, good. She hands the candy back to the customer. That's kind of our first scenario. So in this case, we're not even dealing with our model. This is just, say, a user went and clicked on the web page, a link to your web page. The view is stupid. It doesn't really know what to do, so it has to go to the controller. It has to ask, what do I do with this information? The controller then hands back the appropriate page, and the view can display it. We now have a second scenario, or our scenario 1 in this case, where a customer asks Vicky, the cashier, for a cup that's sitting in the back somewhere in storage. Now, again, Vicky says, oh my gosh, I have no idea what to do. She turns to Caitlin, the manager. She says, Caitlin, I have absolutely no idea what to do. They asked for a cup this time. What do I do? Caitlin says, all right, hang on. She turns around, yells at Madeline, our model. She says, Madeline, go get a cup from the back. Madeline says, okay, okay. Madeline goes. She knows exactly where the cups are. She grabs the cup. She hands it back to Caitlin, our manager. The manager hands it back to Vicky. Vicky now can finally present the cup to the user or the customer. So in this case, it was slightly more complicated. We had a couple more parts. But basically, the idea is pretty similar. Something happens on the front end. The user, the customer, asks for something. The view doesn't know what to do. It has to go to the controller. The controller tells the view whether just to hand back a certain amount of data to the user or to go get some data from the back hand it back to the view, and the view can then present it to the user. So I think that's like a useful way of thinking about MVC. Now that we have kind of that framework in mind, let's talk a little bit about Ruby on Rails. So Ruby itself, Ruby the language, has a lot less syntax than PHP or C and the things you've been working on. You'll see there are a lot fewer semicolons, a lot fewer curly braces, which makes it a lot nicer to work with. It reads a lot more like English. Also, Ruby has some pretty fun features called gems, which you can think about kind of like libraries in C or the things you include with the hash include up at the top of your files. So there are Ruby gems for just about everything. It's a super well-documented language and has lots of people working on it. So if you're thinking about implementing some cool feature, try a little Googling, and there'll probably be a library for it that has some pre-built-in functions that make whatever you want to do a lot easier. And we'll talk a little bit about some that you can use to enhance the web app that we're going to talk about a little bit later. All right, Ruby on Rails, I said, is a framework. What is a framework? A framework is basically just a default structure. It gives you kind of a set of files and a set of procedures for managing data, managing your views, and just the general structure of your program. So database, web service, web pages, it kind of sets up a big chunk of your project for you, and then you can go in and kind of change the things that you want. So that leads to kind of the second big pillar of Rails, which is convention over configuration. So Rails, the Ruby on Rails, the developers and the community around Ruby on Rails values convention over configuration. And what that means is there are kind of standard procedures and ways of doing things in Rails that are generally accepted as the way you should, or the easiest way to going about doing things. And you can see that when we'll actually start generating our app. Like I said, there are kind of a bunch of files that are already built for you. And this is kind of the convention thing. It makes it a lot easier to navigate around your app and find ways of doing things if there's kind of a set structure, kind of a set of procedures that you normally follow. That said, there's still a lot of configuration you can do in Rails. There's a lot of personalization, a lot of big Twitter's built in Rails. There are a bunch of other big companies that use Rails. So this isn't to say that Rails can't do whatever you want it to do. It's just that generally there's a set procedure that makes it a lot easier if you follow it. There's really good Rails documentation. I'll point you to a couple other useful sources later in the presentation, but this is just a link to the kind of official Ruby on Rails documentation. Definitely check it out if you're thinking of working in Rails. All right, a little bit about Ruby. We'll address differences between Ruby and the languages you've been working in more when we get into code examples, but this is just kind of a cool thing that Ruby does, which is iterating through numbers in an array. So if you remember in C, what you have to do is you kind of have to set up a for loop and you have to iterate through your array by accessing each element. So you have kind of array bracket 0, array bracket 1, array bracket 2. In Ruby, they kind of take in care of a lot of that for you. So for a for loop, you can instead use dot each. So if I have an array numbers and it has 5 numbers in it, and I want to go through every number and print it out, I can just say numbers dot each do number, which sounds a little cryptic at first, but basically what that's doing is it's saying I have an array of numbers, I want to take each one, and instead of saying numbers dot zero or numbers bracket 0, numbers bracket 1, I can just say number, and it's going to go through each one and call it number as it goes through it. So then I can just say puts number, and the first time through it'll puts the number, which is 1. The second time through it'll puts the number, which is 2. Third time through, etc. So this is just it's a fairly common construction in Ruby, so I thought I'd just show it to you guys so it's not overwhelming if you find it. And the last difference is at the end, instead of curly braces, we say, all right, we're done with our for loop. Let's say end. And we're telling our program that, OK, we're done with this set of chunk of code. So just a little bit of exposure to different types of syntax in Ruby. OK. We are going to now just dive straight into an example and spend the next 40 minutes just kind of digging into it, going through it, explaining things. If you guys are here for the seminar, do you want to move up into the couches? Cool. Awesome. And feel free to stop me at any point if you have questions, raise a hand, whatever, just shout out. OK, or actually, let's go back here. So I have, so I've put a link to all of the code that I've written for this example on a website called GitHub, which if you haven't experienced or been to GitHub before, is basically just a place where you can store a lot of code and interact with it. Has a lot of cool features, but for now that's all that's really necessary. So there are two things that you can, basically two options for dealing with this code. You can visit GitHub.com, and for their kind of instructions that you'll see for how to follow along and build your own app, that's the same as the app in the example code, or you can actually download all of the code and their examples for how to just run it right off the bat if you want, instructions for how to just run it right off the bat if you want to experiment and just kind of see what it does on your own. We'll also be playing around with it some today. So in order to just get a copy of all of the code that's in this repository, all you have to do is type this line into your command line. And these slides will be available after, so no worries there. So you can just copy this line into your command line. It'll make a new folder with all of the example code. Or you can download it from the website, because it'll be from the CS50 website, because it'll be up there afterwards too. All right, let's look at some code. Okay, so this is what the GitHub link looks like if you went to the first link that was just on the slide just displayed. So it tells you about the app, what's in it, and then what's the four different kind of folders that you'll find in the app. So let's take a look at the first folder in the app. So to-do list starting out. Basically, what this app is going to do is, it's pretty simple, it's just going to make a to-do list. And on your to-do list, you'll be able to add items, you'll be able to delete items, you'll be able to view individual items, edit items, and see all of the items in your list. So fairly simple functionality, but kind of this is what Rails is best at. Rails is good at a lot of things, but this is kind of the foundation of Rails. And once you know how to kind of do these four actions, create, read, edit, and destroy, it's kind of a, I always find destroy like a really violent word. I don't know why they just use delete, but anyway, the convention is to say destroy, so we're going to destroy items. But once you can do these four things, basically the world is open to you in web development, and so it should be a useful example. All right, so actually, first I'm just going to show you what this, in practice, what this this to-do list is going to do. So, and I'll explain. So, if we go to, I always forget this exact syntax for starting a Rails server, but that's why I wrote it down. All right, so this is just starting a server. You guys are all doing something similar on the problem sets, not this exact syntax. We'll go into it a little more later. Okay, so this is what the final app is going to do. We are going to be welcomed to our site. We can view it. We can view our to-do list. Right now it's empty, so we can add an item. Let's say go to CS50 seminar today. Save item. All right, so now we're seeing exactly what we just wrote. Makes sense. And then we can edit it if we want, or we can just go back to the to-do list. And now we see the item is go to CS50 today. Or, sorry, there, to make it a little clearer, we could add a little break here. But go to CS50 seminar, the text is today. We can also delete this item, and now our to-do list is empty. So again, pretty basic. There's some, not sure if this year there's a seminar on Bootstrap, but if you want to make your sites beautiful, you can use things like HTML, CSS, and Bootstrap. Definitely view those seminars if you're interested in making prettier apps, but we're working on functionality today. All right, so let's get started. So if you go to, again, from this homepage on GitHub, you can say list starting out. And this will walk you through just the basic setting up your framework in Rails, starting your server, and kind of getting something to display on the screen. So this is just the basic setup. Making a new Rails project is really easy. All you have to do, since it's pre-installed on the IDE, is type Rails new and then your project name. And that's going to generate a whole bunch of folders. As you can see, if I go to to-do list starting out, we have it can be kind of overwhelming because there's just a ton of stuff that just appears. Luckily, you don't have to deal with too much of it, especially when you're starting out and just building basic web apps. The main folder you'll be concerned with is this app folder. And you can see in this app folder we have, we have a couple things that already look familiar. So we have models, views, and controllers. So you can guess where the different code for models, views, and controllers are going to go, and it's probably going to be in the appropriate folders. So the first thing we want to do is basically we just want to make something appear on the screen. We just want to, in this section, we just want to like welcome someone who comes to the screens, comes to our homepage, just say hello. So the way you do that is you can generate a controller really easily in Rails. Right now we don't have any controllers, or if you've just gotten this far, you won't have any controllers. If you go to your controllers folder, all it will have is this application controller, which is just telling you it's kind of, you can do some kind of base configuration in your application controller, but it's not going to tell your app what to do if someone clicks on a specific web page. So the way that you set that up is you, there's a line you can run in Rails, which basically just says, generate a controller. Make me a file that's going to help me perform the functionality that I need on this website. And in this particular one, we're making a welcome controller, because all it's going to do is welcome users to the page. And so you generally want to name your controller something that makes sense for the functionality it's going to perform. And within that welcome controller, we want to have kind of an index action. Now, if you remember from your server problem set, one of the things you had to do was check to see if a user went to a home page without, so if they just went to a directory, you had to check for index.html or index.php. That's because by convention, kind of home pages are called index in web development. So you can think of index.anything really as a home page. So we're going to say we want to be able to handle requests to this home page, and we want to have an action within our controller that can deal with that. So what does that look like? Well, once you run this line of code, you're going to get a welcome controller. And within that welcome controller, it defines a method index. And that's all it does. It just says it exists. And that's because we don't really need any fancy functionality when the people want to go to our homepage. We just want to show them the page. So we just need to tell our controller, all right, this action exists. This page exists. Don't freak out when you get here. Just show us this index page. Which is all well and good, except we haven't made an index page yet. So that goes to the next thing we have to do, which is once you've set up your controller, in step three, you have to go to the views, because although you've told your app what to do when they go to the index page, you haven't made an index page. All of our views, like I said before, are going to be stored in this views folder. And as you can see, we already have a welcome folder. That was generated by when we generated our controller. It assumed you're probably going to want to show people views with the various things you want to do in this controller. So we're going to make a folder for you that's related to this controller that you made. And it's going to be called welcome, because your controller was called welcome. And you can put in any pages you want here. So like I said, we want an index page. We want a home page. We can create this index page. It won't be here originally when you first type this, so you'll have to make it. And you want it to be called index.html.erb, because that's kind of the Rails way of saying this is a Rails view page. So instead of just index.html, convention is index.html.erb. And you can put whatever you want on this home page. Right now, all I've said is hello. So that means, what happens? Let's see this in action. Let's stop our server from our final to-do list. Go to our starting out to-do list and start the server again. Maybe. Let's see. Here we go. Okay, so now our server should be running, and it's going to be serving us this basic just starting out page. So when we visit the home page, remember, we've, there's kind of one other important area that you need to kind of configure when you're starting out your Rails app. So we've told the controller what to expect when we get past this information, but we haven't actually configured the routes of our web app yet. So basically, we need to make sure that the controller gets past the right information at the right time. So how does our web app even know that when we go to the home page, it should tell the controller, the welcome controller, to be okay with the index page and then trigger the index page? Right now, if we went to our home page, our app doesn't really know that it's supposed to talk to the welcome controller at all. So the last thing, kind of important area to edit when you're setting up an app is routes. And that's in config routes.rb. And I believe so I do have that correct in my directions on this getting started page. So if you're following along with that, that should be easily discovered. So the one thing we have to do is we have to say, when you first arrive at this page, this line will be commented out, because there are a lot of comments. Again, this is kind of just part of when Rails gets generated. It puts a whole bunch of stuff in here. It has all this stuff commented out because you probably don't need it originally. But this is all kind of stuff that a lot of people tend to use. So you can delete all of this if you want. But you'll find some of the things you might want to uncomment at various points just because they tend to be useful. So this is something that Rails just sets up for you. So this will be a line that's commented out. But you can uncomment. And what this line says is, all right, if the user goes to the root, goes to our home page, we want to trigger the welcome controller's index method. And that's how this all ties together. User goes to the home page. In routes, you set it up so that that will trigger the welcome controller. That'll go to the welcome controller, which will then say, all right, index. I want to call index.html.erb and give that back to the user. Seems kind of convoluted. But you'll start to see a kind of pattern when we, we have to do something with the routes, we have to do something with controller, we have to do something with the views. And then later in, we'll add in, once we have all our routes, views, controller, model, controller, views, controller, model, controller, views. So that's kind of a pattern you'll start to see. Yeah, go for it.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean that every time you change some code, you need to restart it?
So it oftentimes, especially if you're just kind of changing around views, you just need to refresh the page. Okay. Sometimes if you make some major change, you'll need to restart the server. Generally, if something isn't showing up that you think it should, just restart the server, and often it'll come up.
Just restart it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Usually I just restart the server if I run into some sort of issue.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And second question is, Seems pretty convoluted process to get to an index page. Now, I assume there's a lot of things that makes it powerful and versatile.
Right.
I haven't seen that part yet.
Right.
A little bit?
Go ahead and reiterate his question.
Oh, sorry. So the first question was, I restarted the server, and why did I do that at that particular time? The specific reason for that one is because I was actually changing folders, and so I had to restart it for the correct app. Usually you just have to restart the server if you make big changes. The second question is, this does seem really convoluted. Why is it so complicated to make just a single web page appear, and where is the power of Rails? So basically, the power of Rails is going to come in one of the next thing I'm going to show you, basically. So although this does seem convoluted, and especially compared to your problem sets, it's actually a lot more convoluted in almost any other framework. CS50 has kind of taken care of a lot of this backend for you when they've generated the code for your CS50 Finance. So a lot of this has just gone under the hood in what you're working in, because they wanted you guys to focus on model view controller, just those aspects, because that's kind of, that is the base of web development, and it's really important to understand that stuff and how it fits together. However, there's a lot of stuff under the hood that has to go in before you can even get to model view controller. So that's kind of what you're seeing here. And really, if you look step by step at the directions, it actually only is about 4 steps. You have to generate the framework, so just type, you know, Rails new. You have to generate a controller. You have to generate an index. And then you have to create a route. So it's really only editing 4 files. A lot of the setup is done for you. So it's also seems more convoluted because it's taken a lot more time since I've tried to explain the various steps and why they happen. So if you think about it only as those 4 steps, it seems less convoluted. And also what I'm about to show you is kind of part of the reason why people love Rails so much. OK, so let's just first see this page that we've worked so hard to create. Hello. All right. Very underwhelming. OK, let's continue. After the second part, after to-do list starting out, is to-do list with items. So if it's going to be a to-do list, probably needs some, you know, items in the to-do list. So the first thing we have to do again, or one of the first things to do, is to make a series of routes, because you're probably going to want a page where you can make new items. You're probably going to want a page where you can see the individual items. You're probably going to want a page where you can edit the items. Obviously, deleting is, you might not want a page for that, but you're going to want to be able to kind of click on something to delete items and have that information available. So this is a really useful thing that Rails does. So if we go into the next folder, which is with items, we can see in our routes again, let's see, config routes. We've added something new. So before we just uncommented this route, welcome index. And that was, again, saying if you go to the home page, go to the welcome controller, go to the index page. Now we have this kind of 3 extra lines. They look a little cryptic. It's kind of unclear what they're doing. But basically, this is creating a Rails resource. And a resource is kind of just a set of instructions and procedures relating to kind of a resource is a set of procedures relating to some construct that you'll want to have. So in our case, it's items. We want to have items. We want to do a bunch of things to them. And so what this couple lines does is it says we want to be able to have a bunch of paths that we can go to do different things with our items. And it creates all of these paths for us. So one way of demonstrating that is if we go to, let's stop our server so I can use the terminal, rake routes. What this command does is it, I am still in starting out, but this is, we can start with this actually. So as you can see, this showed us that we have, we can go to our home page, and that will trigger the welcome controller's index method, but we can also go to welcome/index. And that will do the same thing. So this is 2 different routes that you can type in order to get to the same kind of home page. So this is showing us all our available routes in our starting out app. Now if we go to our new app that has items in it, so to-do app with items, and then we run rake routes again. So to show us all the available routes that the user can type in. Now we have a bunch more. And all we've done is added those couple lines in our routes. But now we can go to items/items from our route, and we'll see the index page in the items controller, or we'll trigger the index action in the items controller. We have new, we have edit, we have, delete. So this has created a bunch of available routes. Now, we haven't made our index controller yet, so we haven't actually made any valid we haven't made these actions valid, but now we don't have to add a different line in our routes controller for every single one of these actions, or not in our routes controller, in our routes file. The system generates this automatically for you. All you have to do is edit your routes.rb. Already we're seeing kind of one of the perks of Rails. It does all this for us. And now all we have to do, like we did before, is edit our controller so it can handle all of these different paths that the user may want to take, and edit our views so that we have files that the controller can call. Okay. Let's go to, we want to edit our controller. Right, that's exactly what I just said. Okay. Or make a controller. So you'll see right now, I have a new controller called items controller. And I generated that very similarly to the way that I generated the previous controller. So if you go through the instructions in the part two with items, you'll see that after you edit the routes, you make a new controller. And if you remember this syntax from the previous example, great. If not, fine. Bin Rails generate controller items. This is a little different because we didn't say index right after, because we just want to generate a blank controller, because we'll be doing a lot of configuration within this controller. So we didn't want a preset index method in it just on the start. But that's a pretty small difference. Basically, it's exactly the same. We're making a controller so that we can handle any requests to deal with items. And that will also make a file in our views to deal with controllers, or to deal with items. Can I get a gauge? How are people doing? It's a lot of information. Is it generally making sense? Are there things that are just absolutely way too confusing that I should go over the purpose of something? Doing okay? Okay. All right, we'll go on then. All right, we've made an items controller. We want to deal with items. What do we want to do with our items? Well, we want to be able to make new items, and we want to be able to create items. These seem kind of similar. What's the difference? Well, there are a couple different ways that you can channel information into a controller. One is through GET requests, so through URLs. And we already saw that. If we went to /welcome/index, we got our welcome controller's index page. That was information channeled to the controller through a GET request. There are also POST requests, though. That's if you submit a form online, there's still information that gets sent back and forth to the controller, but it doesn't necessarily go through the URL. So there are a couple different things we can do with these items. We need a page to go to where we can type in the information we want for the new item in our to-do list, but we also need to be able to handle, once we click enter, what happens with this information that we've typed in. So that's kind of the general purpose of new and create. New tends to be a page that you'll visit. It's information that gets passed to the controller through a URL. So when you go to /new, your routes are set up to handle that as information that will get passed to the items controller. And then you'll kind of render a page that shows a form that the user can type in information. But then there's create. So once you type in your information and press submit, create tends to be the action that will actually take that information that you've entered and do something with it. So that's the distinction between those two, which can be originally confusing. So all that our create method does right now is render plain params item inspect. All that means is take the information you got relating to item, this item that we typed in information for, and we'll show you how that works in a moment, and just show it to me. So after you type in information on this new page, show me what you typed in on the next page. And we can see that in action. Let me close some of these so it gets less cluttered. Let's go, we're in with items, so let's start our server. All right. I've just gone to item/new. This is telling because of the way we set up our routes in config, this path is set up to give information to the items controller and specifically the new action within the items controller. So if you remember, all that said it was def new end. So that's just going to try and find new.html.erb, the HTML page that relates to the action that we're looking for. And I'll show you that page in a moment. But as you can see, it just says make a form, basically. That's what that page does. We can type in another thing. So new item and made today again. We're going to save it. And we see all that our create action does is printed out to the screen right now. Eventually, in the next section, we're going to put it into a database. But for now, we can see we were able to take that information and handle it. And so again, this is still kind of underwhelming. But at least we now can kind of start dealing with data. So what does our new page look like? What does the HTML look like on that page? So again, you'd kind of expect that to be in views because it's dealing with information that actually gets displayed on the screen. And when we generated our items controller, that made a handy folder for us in views that relates to items. And I made this new.html.erb page. So this is another reason why Rails is awesome. It's really easy to submit and kind of transfer data dealing with resources that you made in routes. So all we have to do in order to tell the app that this is information about our to-do list items is say form for item, that's it. And then we're just telling it what URL to direct to after we're done submitting the form, and it's items path. And we can look at what that is in a second. But for now, let's just go on to the form. So if you remember from when I was talking about Ruby for loops, it was array.each_do_number. And then every time we went through the loop, it did something to, or it printed out the next number in the list. This is a similar syntax doing something slightly different. It's saying, basically, all it's saying is, I want to relate this form to, it's giving, all right, sorry, let me rephrase again. It's relating the form items, so these things we see, to this form that we've made for our item. So it's just a way of kind of tying everything together. I'm not going to go into it in too much detail. But basically, what we've done is we're saying for this form that we've made for this item, we want to have a title field, and the label will be title, and it'll be a text field. And this, all that this syntax is doing is kind of generating HTML. You'll see it doesn't look like HTML, mostly because of these kind of weird symbols on either end of the text. And what that's saying is, we are going to want Ruby code, or we're going to want HTML eventually, but we want to use some Ruby to generate that HTML. And so this is just sticking Ruby code into HTML. So we can see this is plain HTML, H1 new item, close H1, that looks familiar, that stuff we've seen in lecture. We can see these P tags that also look pretty familiar. But the form itself is, the HTML is mainly generated by Ruby code that you've stuck in there. And you can see, actually, why don't we do this? Let's, I think we can do this in the IDE. Okay, yeah, so this may be small. Yeah, this is probably too small. But what you can do on your own is you can inspect the HTML of a page by right-clicking and then clicking Inspect Element, and you can see the actual HTML that our Ruby code built. And you'll see there is a form tag, there's a label tag, there's a bunch of a text field tag, and so you'll see kind of the results of this HTML that we created using Ruby, which is kind of cool. All right, and I believe that's it for just making a new item and showing it on the screen. Any questions now before we get into our last chunk, which is dealing with databases? No? Okay, cool. And as you saw again, just it actually really only took a couple steps. It took generating a controller, adding a new and create action so that the controller could deal with requests for items slash new, and so that the controller could deal with information that came in after a submit of this data relating to our item, and then making the form. So pretty simple, actually, even though, again, it seemed like a lot of steps. No, so we don't have a model yet. Right now, all we have is this kind of Rails construct, a resource that really can take any shape. So what we're about to do is make a model so that we can put this resource, this, you know, an item, into a database with a set structure. So the way that creating models work in Rails, let me go to the next. So to-do list with MVC is part 3 of 3. So the way you create a model in Rails is, again, pretty easy. It's kind of a one-line thing. You say Rails generate model, similar to Rails generate controller. You give it a name. We're going to call it item. And just, again, by convention, you usually capitalize and don't pluralize the names of models. You can call them whatever you want, but just by convention, and so it makes your code more readable by others. Generally, this is the convention. And then you tell it, basically, what columns do you want in your database for this particular model. So we're saying we want a title column, and that's going to hold strings, which, not surprisingly, is similar to the string data type that you worked with that CS50 library implemented. It's just, you know, a set of characters. And we're going to implement we're going to have a notes column. So we're going to have items and then notes about those items. And that's just going to be a bunch of text. So similar to string, but just gives you more space. So you can think about this as setting up the structure of a database. This hasn't actually made a table yet. All this does is says, I'm going to make a file that's going to basically be able to be made into a database once you kind of confirm that everything's OK. So if you run this, it makes a file with a really long name. It's going to be in the database folder, in the migrate folder, and it's going to have a bunch of numbers and then say, create, this is a typo, it should be items. But it's going to look something like this. This is the format that it'll look like. So it's just like a bunch of numbers, and then create, and then whatever your model name is. And if we go to that file, it won't be in this one. It'll be in the MVC one. If we go to that file, migrate. We can say that we can see that this file is now set up to create a table with a string column called title and a text column called notes. So we're all set up to make our database. We haven't yet, but we're set up to do it. And then in order to make it, luckily this is all set up for you on the IDE, but basically Rails by default uses a database called SQLite. Often when you push to production mode, you'll want to switch to different databases. But for the sake of this final project, and honestly, for just small web apps in general, SQLite is fine. And it has the word SQL in it, so not surprisingly, it's kind of similar to the MySQL databases you're using. It's kind of like a lighter version of it. But another beauty of Ruby is that you don't actually have to deal with any SQL whatsoever. Ruby deals with all of those. I think you've probably seen at this point kind of insert, table, at, and you have, you know, a bunch of just these long SQL commands. Ruby does that for you, which is amazing. Or sorry, not Ruby. Rails does that for you, which is awesome. So you don't have to deal with any SQL when you're dealing with Ruby. So we have this file, which we don't need to edit because we already set it up when we said Rails generate controller and we gave it the types. And now we can create this database. And the way you do that is by running the command rakedbmigrate. And that says basically actually make this table with these columns, this setup that I can now insert data into. At this point you've made your table and it's ready to be queried in any way you want. Not surprisingly, we have, you know, a database, but we don't really know what to do with it. where do you think we go? Which of our MVC tells us what we're going to do with information? Controllers, yeah. So we're going to go back to our controller in order to set up a way to actually put data into the database and take data out of the database. And we don't have to make a new controller this time because this is all still dealing with our items, right? We're putting items in, we're taking items out, so it's still in our items controller. And we can see, let's go to app, controllers, items controller. This is in, okay. There are a lot of changes, but the important ones are we have a show, which now accesses this item model that we made. So remember, we called our model item with a capital I. And this is basically taking care of a SQL command for you. This is saying go to the database, get out an item with the specific ID that I'm looking for. And it knows which ID you're looking for by way of passing data in through the view, which I'll show you later. We're also now, instead of our create looks a little different, we are now again dealing with a SQL command. We're saying put this new item into the database. And this is basically just for security reasons. We have a private method that just kind of takes care of making sure inserting and taking things out of the database is done safely. So you don't really have to know too much about that, but it's just kind of a security thing. We're going to save an item to the database and then redirect to the show page. So this is kind of a lot to take in. I think I'm going to stop here just kind of pause, talk a little bit more about generally the structure that we've seen and a couple key takeaways. And I think that you'll find if you follow through the instructions on the GitHub page, this was a lot of information just like thrown at you. It's a whole new framework. But I think it really boils down to like a couple key steps. Like I mentioned before, setting up the web app is four steps. We went over them before. They're laid out pretty clearly in the Getting Started page. And basically, any action you want to implement is kind of max three or four steps. You usually have to add some item into the controller in order to tell the app how to handle a certain set of information that gets passed to it, and you have to edit a view in order to tell your web app what to do with that information that it gets passed from the controller. And then dealing with the model, I think, again, there are a couple key syntax things. This is basically the at items is kind of like a global variable. You can pass it into your view, which is pretty cool. So if I go to my views for these things, that was very specific. If I go to my view for, let's say, items index, you can see that I can access this items variable if I use Ruby code. So what that did in the controller is it says, I want to make a global items variable. And what I'm going to do with it is this SQL command. I'm going to go into my table, get all of the items, and put them all into this items variable. And then in my view, I'm going to use this items variable, which just has a big list of all of the items. And this is the for loop syntax we talked about earlier. For each of them, I'm going to print out the title and the notes about them. So this is super convenient. Accessing, if you'll notice, a SQL command, two words, instead of, you know, however many, 15. And a global variable, all you have to do is say at items. This is a really easy way of passing information back and forth from the model view and controller. If you'll notice, all three of those all three parts are accessed in these like very simple three lines. This is saying go to the model or go to the database, get out data. This is saying pass it into the view. So I think that example is actually a pretty nice way of demonstrating why Rails is so cool. Three lines, we were able to access our database, get information to our controller, and then pass it back to the view. And again, you'll see a very similar theme for all of the rest of the methods you might want to do. You'll see kind of some reference to the database and a way of passing it into the view. And then the views are responsible for handling that data in whatever way you want. In the final version, again, I've added a couple more fields to this controller, which allow you to delete and allow you to edit. The edit looks pretty similar to create because it makes sense. You'll also want to be kind of putting data back into the database, like you do when you save a new item. Delete is a little bit different because, like I mentioned before, it doesn't have its own home page that you visit in order to delete an item. That'd be kind of annoying if you had to go to item/delete/, and then you'd have to tell it, you know, which specific item to delete. So the delete procedure is slightly different, but still follows the same general conventions. It'll, you know, have some reference to the database where it goes in order to find the correct information and delete it, and it'll have some reference back to the view so that the view knows what to do. So this is Ruby on Rails. I would take a look at the GitHub if you're interested. And there's a lot of really cool documentation. Setting up users is really easy in Rails compared to almost anything else. There's a gem for it called Devise that takes care of a lot of authentication issues, makes a bunch of pages and controllers in the background that you just have to kind of set up links to, and your sign in, sign out functionality is pretty much taken care of. It has cool visualization features. It has really cool, basically everything. So I would highly recommend using it. It's super popular these days too. But yeah, if you have any questions, feel free to email me or stick around. I'll be here. And thank you so much for coming.